If you surround yourself with people that are affirming you and are positive and encouraging, then that certainly does give you the confidence to step out. But I also think that you get to a stage in life, and I'd say I probably hit it when I was in my mid to late 40s, where I just went, I don't care what you think. And, you know, probably right through to our 30s, we still feel that need to, I think, to belong. And in belonging, we tend to look the same and we do the same and all that sort of thing. But I think as we get older, we just start to realize, you know, that isn't how we connect. That isn't, that's not meaningful connection, you know? Yeah. So I think we just start to feel a little bit more confident about doing our own thing and sometimes realizing that actually that's not how I want to dress. You know, I don't want to dress like my best friend.
Welcome to the fifth episode of the Ikivi Podcast Season 3. In this episode, we are joined by Deborah Gates, an Australian stylist who encourages women over 50 to reject societal norms when it comes to fashion and what is considered appropriate and flattering for women over 50. She shares her personal style on Instagram and also uses her platform to introduce ethical and sustainable designers to her followers, promoting the concept of quality over quantity and building a wardrobe for longevity. In this conversation, we talk about her journey in the world of fashion, breaking stereotypes related to age-appropriate dressing, discussing her personal style and sharing her thoughts on the future of the fashion industry regarding diversity in age, beauty, and personal style. We hope you enjoyed this warm and heartfelt conversation as much as we did.
Thank you, Deborah, so much for joining us today. I'm very excited to get into this conversation about pro-age style and fashion and what it actually means and what age appropriate actually means, because it's a term that we've kind of just saying without really thinking about what it actually has meant to us over these last several years. And I think people are slowly starting to talk about it a lot more, but we've never really spoken about it on the ETV podcast, and it's something that's very exciting to delve into. So my first question to you is about your journey into the fashion world. How did that all begin, and how did you become this stylist and this icon on Instagram as well?
Well, icon is a very nice word for you to use, very generous. Look, I think I've always been interested in fashion and style, probably more style than fashion as such, if that makes sense. I've not really been one to follow trends. I've always been interested in, I think, the sort of creative and expressive side of clothing. When I was thinking about this, having read the notes, and when I was about 8 or 9 years old, I recall my mum taking us to the school fete, and they had stalls and you could buy lots of different things. And I remember my mum purchasing a dress for me, and it was purple and it had a white collar, and I did not like it. And that's my first recollection of being really particular and really recognizing what I liked and what I didn't like to wear. So I think, you know, I've always had the interest. I've done a little bit of styling on and off over the years, just as a side thing to whatever work I was doing. And then probably around, I think it was probably about 2014, 2015, probably about 2011, actually, I got involved with an online fashion forum, and it was a really beautiful group of women, and we would share outfits, we would talk about styling, and that really sort of ignited something in me and encouraged me to start to look at, I guess, what I could do, how I could take this further and actually turn something that I really, really loved into more than just a hobby.
What was Instagram like for you in attacking that as a platform?
Instagram for me, I started on Instagram, I think it was about 2014, 2015. And I had become, I can't It's one of those things I can't actually remember what inspired me to go on Instagram, but I think I became aware that there was a bit of a fashion community there and there were women my age. And I remember asking my son to sort of show me Instagram and just, you know, help me to get, I'm reasonably technical at my work. I've always used computers and so on and so forth. But some of these apps, you know, they were new. And so he helped me log on and create an account. And in the beginning, I was really just sharing outfits. And the goal was just to connect with like-minded women who liked fashion, because I've always found that fashion is a really good connecting point for women. And mm-hmm. you sort of start with the fashion, but then you start to get to know each other and relationships develop. So that was what I did. And it was, you know, it was loads of fun. And it still is. But obviously it's become a bigger passion, I suppose, and I have a much greater purpose now. I really didn't have a great purpose when I started.
I love how authenticity kind of comes through in the story that you're telling me right now is the intention of wanting to just connect with people and the intention of wanting to be in the industry and the intention of wanting to share style ideas and tips. Mm-hmm. And then making it something more than just a hobby shows clearly that, you know, that's something that's so valuable. And that's what we can't really forget about, especially even if it's a social media and kind of coming through with that. Like, you can talk about the algorithm kind of not showing up for you and things like that. And there are so many reasons to it, but ultimately somehow, like, there is a lot of authenticity that really comes through with people and organizations and businesses. Like, I can clearly tell that, you know, the place that you're coming from is coming from that passion and that path. And I feel like that's something that people see through for sure.
Mm-hmm. And I'm very grateful to Instagram, because you just mentioned, you know, people saying that the algorithm isn't showing their posts to people and all the rest of it. Like everybody else, I have moments where my engagement is wonderful. I have moments where it's not. And what I think people need to understand, number one, is that, you know, could it possibly be that whatever you posted today wasn't that interesting? I mean, the reality is that sometimes what we do, we have this attitude that everybody should be watching and liking and interacting with us. But even followers who love what we do, they may come across a post that we've done and go, oh, okay, you know, it's not so good today. And I think we need to be very realistic about that. And I also think that instead of complaining, I think we need to be very grateful. We're talking about an app that is free, that allows us to express our creativity, connect with other people. People are running businesses. There are so many opportunities that have been offered to me through this app, and I'm really grateful for that. So you're not going to hear me complaining about the algorithm or people not seeing my posts. I will just continue to work harder to, you know, provide something that adds value to the people who are following.
That's so interesting, because the conversations that I've always had is, okay, it's kind of going down that negative spiral of like, okay, there's so many accounts, so then this is the problem and that is the problem. But we don't really see it from a plus point and from the positives of it. And I guess there are so many accounts now that we follow as consumers. And how, if you're spending an hour a day, say, on Instagram, how is it supposed to show you all those 100 or 200 accounts and what they're posting? Like, it's just not, doesn't make sense. So I guess Instagram or Meta has to have an algorithm in place to kind of show you more and more things that you would most likely like, even if you are following those people.
Exactly. And I think it's interesting when people refer to the algorithm, because my understanding is that there are many algorithms that are part of this, you know, so it's not program, just this one mean algorithm that doesn't want to show you things. And I believe also that, you know, I've heard people say that their favorite accounts are not showing up in their feed. Well, if you're following 2,000 accounts, like you say, they're not going to be showing up. So recently I just cleaned out who I was following. There were a lot of accounts that were not active. They weren't posting. And as soon as I did that, all of a sudden these people that I love to see are once again appearing in my feed. So we've got to be logical about this. I don't think the algorithm is this big bad monster that everybody makes it out to be.
I love that. And I definitely think we're going to highlight this point as well, because we tend to get lost in all of this clutter that we're so used to doing, being in. Before we kind of get into more of this conversation about Instagram, I'd love to know a little bit more about you before you started, your presence on social media. What were you doing before that? Was it in relation to style in any way or fashion in any way?
Look, on and off. So my work background is mostly, it's varied. I've done employment services. So I've been an employment consultant assisting people to find jobs. But the bulk of my career has actually been within the not-for-profit sector. I was involved in church ministry for a long period of time, where I was running a community care arm of a church. And then I've done community events, done a lot of events management, that sort of thing. So, but always on the side. So, for example, when I was doing that, I was also styling for just a local, what used to was cable TV, a program, a talk show. So I was doing some styling for that. I would do just styling for individuals, often people that I knew and that sort of thing. So it's always sort of been in the background. It's always been something I loved. There was probably a period of time where I felt a little bit like, compared to the other things I was doing, it was kind of frivolous. And, is that a really good thing for me to be focusing on? But I've come to understand, and I think it's what I always knew, is that this is actually important. This is one of the ways women can build their confidence. It's one of the ways in which they can express who they are. There is so much about fashion and style that is not frivolous. It's actually very valuable and it can be very important.
Did you always know your style, or was it a process for you to discover your own style? How did you come into your own style?
Yeah, look, it was definitely a process. I think, we grow up watching other women, and it's often older women when you're a young girl. And I think at the time that I was growing up too, there wasn't social media, so there were magazines, and I used to buy Vogue, and I used to buy things like that. And a lot of that sort of thing was very out of our reach at that time. The exciting thing about social media is everything is to hand, so we can see everything straight away, and we're no longer being told this is what's trending, but it's no longer just one thing that we're being shown. We can see everything. So that was incredibly exciting for me. I mean, of course, I think I started off just dressing in what was available and what I thought was stylish. But then over the years, I guess I've actually, tried different things, and I thought, well, that looks nice on someone else. We do that thing where I think we make a lot of mistakes.
Yeah.
And then I got to a point where I started to think about not just about do I look good in this, but how do I feel in this? And what does this communicate about me? So, and also, what am I expressing? And I've done a lot of work that would be considered sort of administrative. So I didn't see myself so much as a creative, but I am a creative person. And so clothing is one of the ways in which I express my creativity. I think it just takes, it's trial and error. It's thinking about, who do you want to be, but what do you want to express? What makes you feel good? When you look in the mirror, do you like what you see? But really, really important for me is how does it make you feel? So, for example, if I were to dress in a very classic pair of pants and a blazer, that might look nice on me, but I would just feel so weird.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? It's just not me. Whereas if I was going to do a pants and blazer, it would have to be an interesting shape. There'd have to be details to it. I have a real love, I guess, of avant-garde type styling, not weird out there stuff, which I love, but that's not what I would wear. But just things are a little bit different, looking at shapes and silhouettes. So when I started to realize that they were the things that made me happy, that's when I started to look for, well, where do I find those things?
There are a lot of people that are creative and can understand their own style and really kind of feel into those things. But there are a lot of people that can't as well. Do you have any ideas or suggestions on how one can actually know if that's their style, and or kind of like a process of how they can kind of evaluate and get rid of things that don't really work for them so that they can identify what is something that is really strong and powerful for them?
Yeah, I think so. And one of the questions that I always ask if I'm styling someone is, how do you feel in this? You know, that's the first question, is how do you feel? And it's also, it's interesting. Like, I think there's an attitude almost that anybody can do fashion styling, because there's so many of us out there. But I actually don't believe that everybody can. I think it's a bit of a talent. It's a bit of a gift. And I think the best stylists are the ones that are quite intuitive. So they're not the ones that are just copying what they see on the mannequin. They have a sense. They have a feel about what works. I think, you know, also not trying to dress people the same way as you dress, because that's not going to work for them either. But really, it's a matter of, when I style women, it's really interesting because you can tell straight away how they feel by the look on their face, because you put something on that just doesn't work for them. And look, it might look nice on them, but it doesn't feel right to them, and you can see it on their face. And a good stylist, I think, will pay attention to that. They will start to sort of disseminate what it is that the person is responding to well, and then that helps you choose other things to suggest for them and start to build that. Yeah. And I mean, obviously, I think if you're not reaching for something in your wardrobe, you've got to ask yourself why. Yeah. And, you know, that's pretty telling. So, you know, don't go out and buy that again, because that's not something that obviously works for you.
Yeah. I think it's a whole like week-long or month-long process of actually looking at your wardrobe and be like, there are so many things that I'm not touching in this for a reason, and kind of spending time evaluating that. I think that itself is a huge thing.
It is. And I think if you regularly edit your wardrobe, I find I'm editing my wardrobe. I try to keep, given the work I do have a lot of clothes. In a perfect world, I wouldn't have so many clothes. I really do like to keep things to a minimum, but I continually edit, continually. And if I have a day where I wear something and come home and think, oh, I just wasn't really feeling that, why? I'll think about it. It might be an element. It might be a neckline that doesn't work for me anymore. And then I will take that, I'll wash it and then take it out of my wardrobe straight away. So I find that continual editing is a really good thing to do.
Yeah. So you emphasize the idea of women being free to wear what they like and irrespective of their age. Can you share an experience where you felt you were challenging societal norms in terms of dressing and breaking those stereotypes related to age-appropriate dressing?
Sure. Look, that's an interesting question. And I'm certainly not, I like the concept of sort of being a disruptor in that area, but I'm probably not very overt as far as that goes. I just wear what I like. And so I think what I've experienced, though, is I've had women say to me, oh, that looks amazing on you, but I couldn't wear that. And so I guess that is probably an example of what you've just asked, sort of, you know, going against societal norms. So, for example, a piece of clothing that I wear all the time is a beautiful, we call it a tutu dress, a tutu slip. And it's fabulous. And I wear that every week. It's the most worn piece of clothing in my wardrobe. And so many women have said to me, oh, but, you know, you can do that. I can't. And it's like, well, why can't you? Why can I and why can't you? And a lot of it is just encouraging women to be confident. Do you want to wear it? Wear it. Doesn't matter. Wear it out for lunch with the girls. You know, you don't have to save these things for good. And look, I do live right. I'm from Melbourne, but right now I'm living in regional Victoria. And, you know, there is an element, I guess, of conservatism being in a regional area. So there are possibly some of the things that I wear. Some people probably look at it and go, what are you doing? But I don't actually spend a lot of time thinking about that. Most people are very complimentary.
So why do people say that they can't do it? Is it society? Is it what people think? Is it confidence? Or is it just like a combination of everything?
Yeah, I think it's probably a combination. I think I meet a lot of women who are not confident in themselves. They don't want to be the center of attention. They don't want people to notice them. So they don't want to wear clothes that would bring attention to them. And, you know, I think sometimes people get stuck in a rut. So they're used to wearing the same thing. And so you might have a woman who always wears knee-length dresses. Instead of her, here, try on a maxi dress. And she'll put it on. She looks amazing. And she will respond, oh, I don't know. I don't think I can wear this. And what it is, her eye needs to adjust because we're used to seeing ourselves in certain things. And that's the same for all of us. The same for me. I have to remind myself sometimes that because I wear long lengths, I love long drapey, but I have to remind myself that, you know, if I want to, I can wear a short dress. We get very stuck in our ways. But the truth is I see a lot of women who just don't have the confidence. They just don't feel that they can do it. They don't want to be the center of attention. They are probably worried about what their friends are going to say, their partners, that sort of thing. So, and I find that really sad.
Yeah, I think that's very sad. It is true, though. I do feel like I can catch myself holding back on some things because of probably, oh, what? This is not usually what I would wear. Like, what would people think if I wore like frills, for example? Like, I don't know what people would think. Yeah, but I guess it's like if you are confident in that particular style or if you really like that particular style, there shouldn't be any reason to kind of hold yourself back. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. You mentioned participating in age-appropriate discussions. How do you navigate these discussions and what does it actually mean to you personally? What is and where are these discussions happening?
I think it's really interesting. I have a lot of ladies who will say to me, I might show them a piece of clothing and they'll say to me, oh no, I couldn't wear that. I'm 70. And you know, you think, well, hang on a sec. You can wear whatever you like. It doesn't matter what age you are. I find the whole age appropriate. See, I think it's a very deeply personal thing. So for me, there are no rules. And I think that if you think it's appropriate, then it's appropriate. We're all different. I personally am not going to, it would be very unlikely for you to see me wearing, say, a really short mini skirt. But that's not to do with my age. That's because I don't like that look. That look is not me. You know, some people might say that I think we still think in the back of our minds that fashion is for young women. And I think that is part of the problem. It's almost like as we get older, we feel like that's not for us anymore. And it's hard for me to get my head around, but I do think that is I don't think it's a conscious thought, but I think that is what happens. Oh no, people will say, oh, that'd look great on a younger girl. And it's like, well, why? Why wouldn't it look great on you? So I think for me, age appropriate is just wearing what you're comfortable in and what you feel appropriate in. So, you know, if you're 80 and you want to wear stiletto boots and a mini skirt, go for it.
Yeah. Why do you feel people kind of tend to feel like that when they start to become older? Like, do they feel like, why are they not interested anymore in kind of taking care of themselves or looking a certain way? Is it, I would love to understand that a little bit more. Like, why is fashion known to be for the younger ones?
That's a hard question. I think it's different for everybody. I think there are some women that, you know, life has taken over. They've been focused on perhaps family, work, other things. So other things, I speak to women who, you know, who say to me, oh, I never buy clothes. I never buy new clothes. And I'm just like, what? You know, because that's not how I am. So, you know, there are some women who they see clothes as function. So I have to, you know, I need to cover myself. So they just, you know, buy what they need. And then, of course, there are other women who find it all very exciting and have fun putting outfits together. So I think, you know, some of it, I guess, is just, you know, different personalities, different life experiences. But then also I think that there's that fear sometimes in older women that, you know, are people going to laugh at me? You know, are they going to, you know, are people going to make me feel uncomfortable? Are they going to be judgy about what I'm wearing? And the reality is that most people are not thinking about us. They're too busy thinking about themselves.
Oh, that is so true.
And it's the same thing. I have ladies who will say to me, oh, I can't wear a sleeveless dress. You know, I don't like my arms. My arms don't look good. And, you know, I respect that. But I always say to them, like, if somebody on the street wants to look at my arms and in their mind make a judgment, go crazy. If you've got nothing better to do than think about what my arms look like. you know, but there's a lot of things that stop us from wearing the things we want to wear. And a lot of it is just fear.
And I also feel like, you know, it's generations that have, like, women are meant to do certain things and play certain roles, and fashion is frivolous, and, you know, all of those kind of old school thought processes that is kind of at least being questioned, and people are actually saying, hey, this is, why are we living like this? Why is it something that we are living from like 20 years ago? Like, times are changing, things are changing. People are now finally at least, you know, speaking up and wanting to be equal.
Yeah.
More than anything else. So I think that all of these conversations are so important to have, so that people hear these things. Like, I'm feeling inspired to actually look at my wardrobe and rethink myself, because I do feel good in certain things and I don't feel so great in certain things, but it's just there and I just wear it. But just like, it's inspirational for people to hear these conversations, to just give you that little boost of confidence and be like, hey, you can do it too.
Exactly. Yes.
That's very cool.
Thank you for listening to the Ikivi podcast. If you are enjoying listening to our podcast, do consider supporting us by visiting www.ikivi.com. That is ikkivi.com. Our fashion platform is all about honoring the modern creative woman, blending Indian traditions with contemporary ideas since 2015. Our passionate venture embraces the vibrancy of contemporary design while supporting the legacy and craftsmanship of India, creating stunning and elaborate ethical silhouettes you'll love. And our podcast is another passion project led by our dedication to sharing stories. It is self-funded and will always be free to listen to. You supporting our work would mean a lot to us. Thank you for being here, and let's get back to our episode.
Your style is something I want to get to. It's a very beautiful mix of chic everyday looks, but also bold and experimental in some ways. I'd love for you to tell us a little bit about your style and what it is, and also how you would use fashion to kind of help with self-expression and, you know, and what role does self-acceptance play in that process?
Sure. So I find it always very hard to label or name a style. And I think sometimes when we do that, we then box ourselves. But it is something that I've thought about because it is something that we do. So I quite like the term chic avant-garde for my style because I do think it's got an element of elegance to it. But I like interesting, unusual pieces. So for me, that if I was going to put a name on it, that's what I would call it. I'm trying to think what the rest of your question was. Sorry.
No, it's about self-acceptance and self-expression through your style and how, what role did that play or does that play in your style?
Mm-hmm. Well, look, I think that I am in a very privileged position because I have a family, I have a husband and a son, and they are both very encouraging. My son is interested in fashion, my husband not so much, but he is very encouraging. And, you know, he's never said anything negative about anything that I wear, has always told me that I look lovely, you know, that looks good. He does not like my drop crotch pants though. But that's okay. I think, and also having friends, female friends who love fashion, if you surround yourself with people that are affirming you and are positive and encouraging, then that certainly does give you the confidence to step out. I don't think they're weird or strange. I mean, some of them are perhaps a little bit different to what a lot of people might be wearing. I think that support and that encouragement also builds confidence. But I also think that you get to a stage in life, and I'd say I probably hit it when I was in my mid to late 40s, where I just went, I don't care what you think. I just do not care. I just don't care.
Yeah. Yeah. I really feel that was my next question is, does that come with age, that level of confidence that you don't give them?
Yeah, I really think it does. And if you think back to, you know, when we're, for example, teenagers, and I see it now, you know, for example, as teenagers, approval is very important. You know, we want to be like all our friends. So we want to do the same things they do. We want to dress the same way they do. You know, we go through that as we grow older. And, you know, probably right through to our 30s, we still feel that need to, I think, to belong. And in belonging, we tend to look the same and we do the same and all that sort of thing. But I think as we get older, we just start to realize, you know, that isn't how we connect. That isn't, that's not meaningful connection, you know. Yeah. So I think we just start to feel a little bit more confident about doing our own thing and sometimes realizing that, you know, maybe say, because we're talking about clothes. Actually, that's not how I want to dress. You know, I don't want to dress like my best friend. But it doesn't change our relationship because we have a different style. And so I think it's part of that growing up, becoming more independent, being confident to express ourselves and who we are. But most definitely age makes a difference.
Yeah, I do feel that. I'm going to be 35 soon and I'm feeling that switch to the confidence side from the not so sure of myself side in terms of style. But also in terms of other things as well. Like you tend to, or the way your body is or whatever else, you're kind of becoming more accepting of who you are. However, at the same time, I have noticed, and there are people in my team as well, the younger generation or the next set of people that are very, very confident in who they are and what they what their style is and what their opinions are. I'd love to hear your thoughts on that in general, because it's such a stark difference. Even within like a 10-year age difference between me and say a 25-year-old, I can see such a difference, such a change. And after I hear your thoughts on that, I'd love to hear your thoughts on it. Kind of, have you personally seen progress in the fashion industry, or in, you know, in stores that you visit, in the industry from a very bird's eye perspective?
So firstly, with the generation, the younger generation, yes, I have noticed they are an immensely confident cohort. It's quite astounding. And I work with two women who are, I think they've both just turned 31. And they, I mean, they're beautiful girls, and they are so much more confident and so much more, they're braver, you know, and it's not just fashion, it's just life. They just seem to have so much more confidence. And I've really noticed that. And why that is, I don't know. I can only assume, I guess that maybe this generation, they have everything at their fingertips because of social media and technology. So if they want to know something, they can find it out. There's a lot of knowledge. Like, I think the good side of social media and all this technology is that all the knowledge is accessible.
Yeah.
Whereas when I was their age, we did have technology. Not at all. But you know, when I was at school, for example, if I wanted to know something, I had to look up an encyclopedia.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So they're a generation that just has access to so much. And I think that is confidence building in itself.
Yeah. So you can in a minute understand what somebody's talking, what somebody's saying, like if it's a topic that you don't necessarily know. And that itself, and knowing that you have access. Yeah, you're right. And knowing that you have access gives you that confidence.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. And I'd love to hear your thoughts on the fashion industry changing. Do you see more acceptance amongst not just consumers, but also amongst stores and those kind of things as well? Do you see that switch and change?
So acceptance for your 50-plus women as women, a customer?
Or in terms of, you know, size, in terms of age and size and style and more accessibility to more things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Look, I think we are seeing change. I think it's, in some instances, it's slow change. It would be great to see more. I think that we are seeing a sort of size inclusive fashion is becoming more and more available, which is wonderful. One of the things I particularly love about working with slow fashion brands is that they are much more, they're much more in tune with their customer base, and they also care more. So what I find is with a lot of those makers, they are making a really inclusive size range, which is fantastic. A lot of the chain stores, the shop, probably not so much. I've heard people say that with some brands, they actually don't carry the plus, what we'll call plus sizes.
Yeah.
In the store, you've got to purchase them online. Like, I haven't had that experience myself, but, you know, I have heard that sort of thing. And I think that, you know, there are still, look, it really depends. You can go into what I call a chain store, and, you know, you can be virtually ignored by sales staff. Are they ignoring me because I'm older, or are they just really bad at their job? I don't know. Do you know, is that what they do to everybody? I'm not quite sure.
Yeah.
But I think also, I think businesses and the fashion industry is starting to realize, or at least retailers are starting to realize, that it's actually the 50 plus age group that has the money to spend.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. So they really should be nice to us. Yeah. And because I think too, we kind of, I think we make decisions. We're very savvy when it comes to how we want to spend our finance. So if I go into a shop and I don't get good service, I don't care what they've got, I'm not going back. So, you know, we really do think very carefully about where we want to spend our money. And so, yeah, I think we are seeing changes. I think that as far as representation goes, we need to see a lot more. I know that we are seeing, you know, we're seeing women 50 plus in the media, we're seeing them in advertising campaigns. But I still don't think we are particularly well represented. I think that what we are seeing are beautiful, beautiful, you know, 50 plus women, but they still meet those conventional beauty standards. So they're often still very slim women and they're very beautiful. Yeah. And that's lovely. I mean, I love seeing them, but that is not representative of all of us. So I think there is a lot of work to be done there.
Yeah, for sure. This space that you're in now is quite challenging to be in. There's so much constantly changing, and navigating that is quite a challenge in itself. How have you been able to balance this new career that you started a few years ago versus what you were used to prior to that? Like, do you feel that difficulty at all to begin with?
Not really. I mean, I think probably the biggest challenge is, because what I do now is social media based, is probably just the learning curve, because it's an ever-changing space. Yeah. So trying to keep up to date with what's going on and how to do something. And I was, for example, I was just having a conversation with someone, a fellow Instagrammer today, just about the quality of the videos that we produce, the reels. And, you know, we both had this experience where we had, you know, beautifully crisp reels, and then we uploaded it and it wasn't, the quality had degraded somehow. So why does this happen? You know, so, but I find it quite exciting, because I like to learn. I like to be learning new things all the time. And this certainly keeps me on my toes. And, yeah, it's very interesting, but it's a very fast moving space. And also, I think you've got to move with it. You've got to be prepared to change. You can't stay still. You can't just be doing the same thing you've always been doing. You've got to be open to new ideas. You've got to be willing to take a risk and step out and, you know, do something different.
Yeah. I like the idea of, you know, when you put up content, you're excited to see how it performs and how it does, like how people receive it. I'm curious to know if, at your age, with the confidence that you have and that you've garnered over these years, does that affect you at all on a personal level? Does it really matter to you how it does personally? Because I know a lot of people that actually feel, I mean, it's known industry-wide that people actually feel hurt by when a post doesn't do well or when it doesn't reach enough people. Does that affect you personally as well?
A little bit, but it affects me more in that I will be thinking to myself, what didn't hit the mark? You know, have I gone to, I mean, obviously, you know, to look at it, I suppose in marketing terms, I am my own brand. So have I gone off brand? Have I gone too far off brand? Am I wearing something that my followers don't understand why I'm wearing it, or they feel that it's not really me? You know, did I not produce an interesting reel? So I will question those things, but it's really in an endeavor to produce content that my followers want to engage with. I think the challenge too can be that with Instagram and all social media things is that, you know, you can have I did a reel. It was a bit of an off the cuff thing, because I've got shaved sides, and I did a reel and I just quickly filmed myself doing that, and it just went ballistic. Oh, and really? You just go, Yeah, it just it hit a million views.
Wow.
And I'm sitting at home going, really? So you sort of ask yourself, well, why do people find that so engaging? Mm-hmm. But another piece of content, they didn't. And so I really try to look at it not from a personal, like, oh, they didn't like me, because I'm here because I do have a message and, you know, I do want to reach as many women as I can, but I'm not, my self-worth is not tied up in how many people like or watch my work.
Yeah. I love that, because it's just, when you don't tie your self-worth to it, then you're able to be so much more creative and so much more confident Yes. in what you're actually putting out there.
Yes, I agree totally. I think when we get too caught up in the engagement, and that's when I think we do one thing and that works. So we just do that over and over again.
Yeah.
And I think that people do get tired of that. And I'm always thinking to myself, what can I do to add value for the people that, you know, watch me all the time? Mm-hmm. Because they're giving up their time, they're engaging with me. You know, they're putting themselves in that space. And so really for me, it's all about them. And, you know, I recently did just a little thing and asked everybody, what would you like to see? And so now I've got some content ideas that have come from what followers have said they would like to see.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very interesting. You have a strong background in events management, like you were talking about, volunteer management, fundraising. How do you see your sense of style influencing or intersecting with the work that you have done or are currently doing as well?
That's interesting. I'm not really sure. I'm not quite sure how to answer that. All I can say is that I like to be appropriate for the occasion or the situation that I'm in, but basically I love to dress up. So I dress the way I dress no matter what I'm doing. What I have found is that particularly, say, in my workplaces, and particularly in my last workplace, I just dressed, we were office-based, I dressed the way I dress, and it was a very casual environment. And what I noticed was that a lot of my female colleagues started to dress up for work. So it was almost like, it was like me being there and just being me gave them permission to dress maybe a little less casual. I mean, they always looked lovely. There was nothing wrong with how they presented.
Yeah.
But that was something that I noticed. So that was kind of cool. But, I think no matter what we do or where we are, it's really important that we just be ourselves.
Yeah. To kind of end our conversation, we did kind of briefly touch upon this, where you mentioned that you would like more representation in terms of, you know, who's showcasing the products, who are these models wearing the products and those kind of things. But what would you like to see as we go forward in the industry? What changes would you like to see from the fashion industry?
Look, I think I would like to see, I'm an advocate for slow fashion. So for me, that's really important. My whole approach to fashion changed in 2015, and I watched the movie The True Cost, which I think everybody's seen.
Yes.
And honestly, from that point on, every Christmas holidays, I would watch that movie again just to remind myself and just give myself a bit of a boost. So look, one of my concerns and I'm not the most knowledgeable person on this topic, but one of my concerns is that, you know, women around the world are still being underpaid. They're working in conditions that are not okay, that are dangerous. You know, there's just, you know, how can I be okay with my fellow women making clothes in these conditions that I'm going to wear? So that, I mean, I know there's a lot of issues. There's environmental issues with fashion. There's so many things. I think you've kind of got to pick what your battle is. Yeah. And for me, it really is about the individuals, the garment workers. So, you know, that's, you know, where's apparently there's change, but I think that change is still too slow. I just am not convinced that we're seeing a lot of change. And again, that's why I like to be associated with some of these, you know, slow fashion brands who are very transparent. They might be making locally, they might be making overseas, but everybody's being paid properly. They're working in, you know, proper working conditions, safe working conditions. That makes me feel a lot better about purchasing from them. I'm not going to be putting my money towards, I'm not even going to name them, but those big fast fashion brands, they cannot, I won't give them my money because I just don't like what they're doing. So I think we need to see a lot of change there. I think we need to see more change when it comes to size inclusive approach to fashion. I think it's really, I think it's horrible that some, you know, fashion outlets, it's almost like they're saying that if you are above a certain size, you don't deserve nice clothes. And that is just so wrong. And it's such a bad message. It doesn't matter how old you are, what size you are. It doesn't matter who you are. You deserve to be able to find beautiful clothing if that's what you want. So I would really like to see that. And I definitely would like to see better representation for sort of that 50 plus group of ladies, because I can see a beautiful 25-year-old model in some clothing and think that's gorgeous. But do you know what? That actually doesn't inspire me because she doesn't look like me. She doesn't give me a good idea of what that's going to look like on me. And to be honest, you know, it's the same with, I guess, you know, some of the 50-plus models, as gorgeous as they are, and it's wonderful to see them working. But, you know, when you look at, say, a fashion shoot or a, you know, marketing campaign, you're often looking to see, well, where am I in this?
Yeah.
And we're still not seeing that. We're seeing it, but we're not seeing it as much as we should. I think it's a very slow process.
Yeah, I agree. Well, thank you so much, Deborah, for having this conversation with me. I think it was so insightful in a lot of ways, just kind of to get perspective and understand how different people think, because we tend to be boxed up as well in the way that we think. And I think that these conversations help people think beyond that and understand what is happening beyond our little worlds. So thank you so much for lighting up this conversation. I really enjoyed having this chat with you, and I hope you did as well.
If you enjoyed this conversation, don't forget to subscribe to the Ikivi podcast, a space for discussion on living meaningful and fuller lives each day. The Ikivi podcast is a property edited and produced by the team at Ikivi.